Internet.
It's going to be a low key night tonight.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, normally these guys start out with like Technolax or some sort of hip hop that Bill would bring in.
I would bring in hip hop.
Would you?
No.
Lay it on me. What would you bring in right now if you're bringing in some hip hop? And I'm not asking about rap or trap or dub.
I don't know what two of those things are.
All right,
I would bring in
hip hop. Lay it on me.
I would bring in the.
If it's anything but Mathematics from Mos Def, you're not my best friend anymore.
No, it's the old lady who sings "Rapper's Paradise." The old lady who like paid Adam Sandler in meatballs when he like wrote the song for her, whatever he did in the Wedding Singer.
You got me.
That's what my favorite rap song is.
We don't have intro music because I have some special music queued up, and we're gonna get to that in just one moment. In the meantime, you know how to get a hold of us. TheDevilsBench.com or Facebook.com/TheBenchCast or The Devil's Bench on Facebook. You know how to get a hold of us. We are located in Brantford, Ontario. Brantford, Ontario is home to...
Dairy Delight.
Dairy Delight. Thank you very much for finishing my sentence. My guest this evening is a representative from a nonprofit, unless I'm mistaken. I believe you guys are a nonprofit. By the name of Period Purse, correct?
Yes.
Katie Zook. Do you get the joke? No? It's a pro wrestling joke.
Nope.
We were talking about if we were to have one theme song for Katie to come on, we were like, Katie, what would you have for a theme song? She was like, I totally don't know. I wasn't prepared to answer that question.
Nope.
And I was like, we should use the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme song.
And that's what's currently playing right now?
13-year-old Bill, like, couldn't handle this. Because the problem is, it starts with the glass breaking, and it was, you couldn't have Stone Cold come in softly, like to interrupt somebody, and that, it worked so well with his middle fingers and beer cans and stuff.
Steve Austin, first night.
I wish I could do Steve Austin's voice. I was just about to do it anyway, and then I was just like...
Do you know he has a podcast that's actually worth listening to? He does.
That makes one of us.
I didn't know he was still around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not dead, I guess.
He,
I don't know.
He records it from the nursing home.
Oh, that's good to know.
don't know where I was going with that.
I had peas today. That's my old man, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And that's the bottom line. Oh, savage. Katie, welcome. Welcome. Welcome very much to the Benchcast. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
No.
Okay, so we have to get some things out of the way.
All right.
First of all, exactly how much of a gamer are you?
Probably between 0 and -2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll adapt. We have a question that we chuck at people without giving them any warning.
Okay.
So now you're warned that there's a question coming.
And now I have about a... 60 to 75 minutes to try and come up with a replacement question.
That's right. And you'll know because I'll be like, oh, the homie. Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
I'll be like, yeah. You'll just see us shoot the look and be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Okay.
Alpha 1-6.
I don't know what I got into. All right.
All right. So we need to clear something up first and foremost. You are from a nonprofit called Period Purse.
The Period Purse.
The
yes.
Period Purse.
The Period Purse.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Is it like a punctuation-themed attire shop?
I was waiting for it. See, I told him about an hour ago, yeah, Katie's going to come on. She's from the Period Purse. And I gave him an hour's heads up so he could come up with, is that a...
Oh, that was right off the fly. I didn't... No, I was changing diapers.
What is the Period Purse?
So the Period Purse is a nonprofit organization. It was started in Toronto around the end of February, I believe, by a lady named Jana. And it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's purses filled with pads, tampons, wipes, and, you know, all the lovely female things that
sure.
we need.
Sure.
And then some extra fun stuff. So whether that's gum, chocolate, scarves, other toiletries.
Hugh Grant movies.
Sure, if you're into that.
You know, when you first kind of brought it up with me,
mm-hmm.
It gave me the light bulb moment because it seems like for every 5 nonprofits that are out there, there's like XYZ homeless initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, I think, And to introduce you to the concept of our podcast, here we go with like the problem is, I think, and that's like, I was just about to dip into global poverty stuff, and I was like, here's the problem with homelessness. But the real kicker here is, if you've got like 100,000 different nonprofits out there that are all trying to accomplish the same goal, how effective are they in like trying to stem poverty or stem homelessness? But that super particular little part of what you guys are getting at, when you first told me that, I was like, oh, that has got to be really underserved.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It's definitely a niche, and it serves a very specific population. And it's probably something most of us don't think of.
No, not at all.
You know?
Because
Yeah. You're
going to go, like we had... what's her face from the
Heather?
Yeah, you know where I was going.
I was just letting you swim for a little bit.
Oh man, from the food bank on, and it's like, okay, you're gonna go like, say you have a something that you want to give back, so you're gonna buy some extra cans of beets at Food Basics and drop it off in the bin at the front,
mm-hmm.
or some toys for the toy drive at Christmas. But that's that one thing that, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
Well, and that's what happened to me. I heard it from my mom. Actually, it was a friend of a friend of hers that started the organization. And when my mom told me about it, I had that little light bulb moment too.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a unique idea, and it seems so simple. But you know, who would think of this?
I think that's the thing sometimes too. When and it goes in a lot of different facets of, you know, life or commerce or charity and things like that, where you have, if you try to be all things to all people, or you try to just be the, like, take the broadest stroke, you miss all those niche little things.
Mm.
And then the thing is, too, is the niche little things, like if you look at different stores and stuff, like the more niche those stores are, usually the fewer clientele they have. And when it comes to charities and stuff, that, like you said, there's 25 charities that are all basically getting at the same thing, maybe from different angles. And then, you know, sometimes, yeah, those little small targeted areas either don't get the attention they deserve or they get missed altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think, you know, the idea behind Period Purse is not to change the world. It's not to make this international impact. It's to help women who are in need to feel a little bit more human.
It makes a hell of a difference to the people who are going to patronize that service, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. What more do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, we one of the things that we touch on quite a bit in this podcast is that we're all one crisis away, or we're all one emergency away from crisis. You know, and so the trouble becomes, and those emergencies don't necessarily have to look like a hurricane. It could be like losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your car breaks down and you can't get to work anymore. And a service like this, I think, fits well because it is like hyper-targeted, and it's not just a catch-all, let's help. Like, one of the things I can't stand is when you're going through the checkout, there's the whole South Park episode about this. You're going through the checkout at Food Basics or whatever, and they're like, well, would you like to donate $2 to help the children? No. I don't want to do that.
What children? Where?
It says right there, the children.
The children. Then they go over the intercom.
This guy doesn't want to help the children.
Like, it just...
We want to teach orangutans in Borneo how to play piano.
Yeah.
Will you donate $7 today?
Well, that's specific. So at least you know where it's going. Yeah,
I would totally give
them $7 for that. Maybe not every niche charity is worthwhile. But.
Correction. I would pay into a Kickstarter for that. I would not give them $7 at the checkout, but that would totally be an inebriated decision at like 11:30 on a Friday night that you're... When you're supposed to be in bed and you're cruising through Reddit and the top, like, third post is like, hey, here's a Kickstarter for teaching monkeys how to play piano. You're like, I'm absolutely going to pay for that immediately.
It's time that I start giving back. That's a good thing, though, like, to talk about is that idea, because that South Park episode was hilarious. And we've all experienced that where if you go around the mall and you go to, like, 5 or 6 different stores, you'll probably get stopped and asked,
mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not more times than the stores you go to, but maybe in the little lobby, The little, you know, there's people that walk up and they're, you know, that's the thing. It's always like, would you like to donate today? Would you like to donate today? And it's like, I mean, you almost feel, it's almost like that makes you less likely to donate things. You know what I mean? And like over the last 20 or so episodes, we've been talking a lot more about focusing on local stuff versus, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to support UNICEF and the Red Cross and support Brant United Way. But if I had to only pick one, I'm going to pick Brant United Way. It doesn't mean I don't care about the other people.
Yeah.
Just I can see the people in town who use the Brant United Way.
Yeah, well, so. it's your own community.
And that's where to start, though. Like, you know, I don't know why I'm being so defensive about it, but I just feel like, you know, I don't have Twitter anymore, so I don't have to worry about anything. But, no, it's just, I don't know, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate picking your cause of choice and doing it in your own community. And it's like, once we get to the point where, you know, the best thing that could happen to you is your nonprofit isn't needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you're not needed anymore, okay, maybe we'll move on to another one. But, no, I like that that's happening here in Brantford.
So, how long have you been with Period Purse? The Period Purse, capital T.
Good question.
I'm going to move this mic up a little bit on you.
Yep, no problem.
Get right up comfy. Actually, it's more uncomfortable to have it closer
yeah,
to your face.
It's extremely uncomfortable.
It's filtering my breath.
I think I contacted her the beginning of March.
Okay, here's...
like a month.
Here's my follow-up question for you. Because that's super important, I think, in why I would be interested in your story. You contacted that nonprofit.
Yeah.
Why? How about
question.
That putting you on the spot? But I'm super interested
in that. No, it's a good
question.
I think, like, when my mom explained the idea to me.
Okay.
And I looked at, you know, the different organizations here. I don't know. It just clicked for me. It just seemed like something that would... If I were in that position, if I needed help and I was having my period, that's a pretty terrible situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, a terrible situation on a daily basis, but that's just an added stress. And I think, you know, from a woman's perspective, like, I cannot imagine how awful that would be.
Oh, I definitely can't speak to that.
Right. You can't. The other part of me thought, you know, how fun would it be to get one of those bags and start rifling through and finding all these little treats and goodies.
Sure.
Because it's not just the, you know, logical utilitarian needs that are being met. You can include fun things, too.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
not?
So if you... So explain the process a little bit. So you're... all right. See you, Greg. I'm going out to do work for the Period Purse today. So what do you do specifically rather than overarchingly? How do you get everything together? And
I don't know what I do. What do I do? I've really what I've done is just get on the phone and started to contact people and start to use some connections so that they can make connections. And I'm not on Facebook either, so that's been a big hurdle because that's like the epicenter of life now.
Yeah, I don't even know if I exist anymore. I left Facebook about 6 months ago, and I've seen like posters up with my face on them around town, so it's weird.
Contacting people who would, organizations that would appreciate getting the donations, but also trying to set up, you know, drop-off locations and things like that.
Okay, so that's, I suppose that's what I want to dip into a little bit. And you can feel free to veto the subject if you want to, but I'm really fascinated by what the course of events that leads up to a person deciding to give their time to someone else. I have a phrase that's basically, you can waste your money, don't waste my time. And so it's, I look at and value time as a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to, because I wear a whole bunch of different hats, and if I don't, things start slipping away from me. And then before you know it, like a perfect example of this on a personal level is my son is towards the age now where he'd get something out of camping. Mm-hmm. Little, mm-hmm. but he'd get something out of it.
Right.
So we want to plan a trip to Brant Park. Not Algonquin or something like that. Brant Park. Just go overnight. And I said, okay, so let's plan a weekend to go there, a Saturday night or something. Sure, okay, let's go do that. Cool. What's the date? Because if we don't book it, we're just going to snap our fingers and have regrets over not doing anything over the summer except for working. Add to that, people who listen to this podcast will know, over the past 6 months or so, I've been trying to manifest the means to give back on a larger scale. And I've been kind of like going inside myself to figure out exactly what I want to do with that and what is that going to look like. And because I have to, you know, to use air quotes here, spend my time to do that, how can I best spend that time? So what do you think? What maybe was it for you, or was a pivotal change, or is this like a progression? Or generally, what do you think leads somebody to want to give their time?
Vito. I'm joking.
That was great. That was awesome.
And did you see the buffer wheel immediately start in my head? And I was like, okay,
you
Bill, change the subject.
You looked a little devastated.
That was a classic. That was like the bad joke bomb, but it was an awesome wielding of the veto power.
I was like, all right, fine. So do you like movies?
What leads someone to give their time, essentially, is what you're asking. The need to help others. I mean, that's such a huge question.
We do that a lot here. We've actually tried to solve world hunger on this podcast.
Oh, well,
we came really close, but I ate it.
We did, and then I think it devolved into something about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know. That's a very good question. I think we all have to realize that nothing is really altruistic, because we are, you know, we're in the end, we're selfish people, I think.
I like that point. That's a great point, because I always say that too. If you're, it's like when we talked about the election, that's your chance to be selfish. And at the same time too, there's so many good causes and there's so many places to donate to. You get to choose what you do with your time or where you donate your money. So I'm glad that you led with that. I like that.
Well, and I don't mean it in a negative way whatsoever.
No. Yeah.
What I mean is, you know, out of every positive, when you decide to do something good for another person, you're getting something back.
Yeah.
Right? It makes you feel good. So why did I choose to do this? I wanted to help others, but it also makes me feel good too. It makes me happy. So when I'm putting together these purses and I'm hiding little treats in them and, you know, I'm thinking about the woman that's going to receive it and hopefully the smile that it puts on her face. That makes me smile.
Yeah.
Remember that concept?
Man, that's the best, eh? That's good feels right there, brother.
Yeah.
Remember?
All the feels right there.
There's that concept from that book, Enlightened Eating, and it's very hokey and wishy-washy, but the one thing that I took from it is the enjoyment that you put into preparing a meal, you know, whether it's like metaphysically or whatever, the person eating it gets out of it. So if I made the whole spread, like mashed potatoes and meatloaf and blah, 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 and then served it to my friends and they ate it, they'd probably get a lot more out of it than they would a Swanson's dinner. And I imagine that if you're having the enjoyment and you're thinking of random lady's face opening up this purse that you're putting together, mm-hmm. and having that little daydream moment where you're hiding stuff in one of the 18,000 compartments that are in purses. Can you get my debit card? No, I physically can't. It's impossible. I don't have the time to find it. But by you having that enjoyment in it, I'm sure they will feel that. Whereas if it were a government issue plastic bag,
yeah.
It would just be like, oh, here's that stuff I need. Okay. You know, like there's the joy that you express while creating it, I'm sure transfers through, even though it's an inanimate object.
Yeah. And I think that has really gotten through to a lot of people. I know Jana in Toronto, her initial goal was around 10. Purses, and I think April 9th, she had 475.
Wow, killing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
You know, people are hearing about it, and they have that same feeling.
You know what else, too, that I like about this? It's smacking my hat off the microphone now. It's actual grassroots. I hate grassroots. I hate grassroots the same way I hate...
Well, maybe they hate you,
like,
too.
Well, good. Fuck grass. I don't care.
And the roots.
It's like...
Especially the roots.
When IT, when tech companies say the word cloud, you can't have a conversation without... you can't buy shaving cream without it being heritage shaving cream. You can't buy an avocado without it being organic... grass-fed avocado, you know, like
from the roots.
Yeah, from
grass
the roots.
Roots-fed avocado.
But it's like you can't have. I already know that if the four of us, if one of the four of us were to have, there's a, if one of us were to start a nonprofit, it would be a grassroots, community-driven X, Y, Z. But that's actually, like, the goal was 10?
Mm-hmm.
The goal wasn't, like, because yeah. Sometimes you hear it's a grassroots operation and we're trying to fund this and that and the other thing for $2.5 million. 10 purses.
Yeah.
And you crushed it.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep. No, it's been pretty incredible just to see it develop and to see not only the community involvement, but who she's been able to reach to. Like different companies who have given donations or promotion codes, things like that. So it is, it's growing. It's alive. It's growing.
Have you guys gotten any press in Brantford yet?
No.
Sean Allen, I'm coming for you, homie.
I've tried to contact a couple people. I won't name them. And I haven't heard back yet, but I'm trying.
Well, you have a very tenacious person on your side. And
good.
Yeah, I don't like no. I don't like hearing no. Even worse, I don't like getting non-responses. So I'm just like, all right, I'll just email everybody at the company.
Dear Mr. Zuckerberg.
That's cool. Because I think it's one of those things where I've heard of nonprofits in Brantford that, like, Brantford's a pretty unique city in the sense that I was just talking about this the other day. Brantford is a city that's living through the reverberations of a failed industrial city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can see, you can see parts of the population here are two generations removed from people that got screwed by factories pulling out of this city.
Yep.
And we're living, it's like this, it is like the ripples in a pond that we're still living in that ebb and flow of that initial decision, like, you know, 60 some odd years ago. And I've worked with nonprofits in Brantford that are, I'll say, like, quote-unquote nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
that they're just not doing it. Like, in regardless of what you want to call that, they're not making the required funds. They're not affecting anything.
Right.
You know, and I think it's awesome that you have, like, a physical item, that there's no, like, well, we're depending on this funding to come through and we're depending on this program, and if such and such connects the dots with that, purses. We got 420 of them, homie.
There gets to a point where something gets so big where they, you know, they don't do what you're doing, where you're small enough that you have to
pound
pick up the phone and make the calls and do all that yourself.
Oh, I love the energy.
Yeah, and then eventually it gets to a point where it's just like, okay, we're big enough, everyone can come to us. And it's like, well, if you're flying the banner of helping people but then waiting for other people to give you what you need to go help people, you're not helping anybody. People are helping you, you know? And so I like that. I remember after we had Heather on and I had said, you know, whatever the monthly Patreon thing was, I was going to match it with a donation to the food bank. And I was going around searching and, like, buying stuff, and I'm like, how much can I get in my cart? Like, I cut myself off at $100. So it's like, what can I get in my cart that isn't just, like, lima beans and expired, like, tapioca pudding and stuff like that? I want good stuff, but I want bags to be falling out of the cart as I walk it up to the checkout. So I like to daydream in my head, even though it's evening and nighttime, but I daydream myself going through, like, I don't know, like a thrift store or something and buying up a bunch of purses. So let's say I do that. I buy up a whole bunch of purses, and I got a whole bunch of purses that, you know, don't really match my aesthetic, and I want to donate them to you. What do I do?
You would then go to the Business Resource Center. at 1 Market Street, Suite 201, and drop them off.
Perfect.
Here's a line of question. Here's a line of questioning for you that's going to be nearly impossible to answer. Get ready. If somebody that's listening to this podcast is inspired by what you're doing the same way that I am, because I like the energy that comes with startups,
right.
And I like just the vibe that comes with the grind, work. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are coming across to me as the type of person who, so long as it matters, you're down with that work. How would you describe, or what would you say somebody needs inside of themselves to start doing what you're doing? Like, they're going to call out and say, okay, all right, what do I do? Like, where do they start?
Bill, you have these big questions.
Yeah, you just thought we were going to come here and talk about Doritos,
yeah.
Right? Don't worry, we'll get there, Katie. Come on. Let's go. Can you tell I've been listening to Shannon Briggs all day? Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Let's go, champ. Just, oh, man, just... Jacked. Too much Jocko Willink in my life. Too much of it. So if I want to start doing some stuff that matters,
mm-hmm.
How do I start doing that?
Specifically related to
whatever.
Or just whatever?
You started. You weren't doing this one day.
Just do it.
Oh, I love it.
Just reach out. Just do whatever it takes. So if you have to pick up the phone, I know it's a scary task to do. A lot of people prefer texting. Just pick up the phone. Call somebody, send an email, go there in person. The reason that the drop-off center is at the business resource, or sorry, the drop-off is at the BRC, is because I just went there and asked Sue.
What up, Sue? What up, fam?
No, Sue's been amazing, and I should give a shout-out to them. Thank you, BRC.
Let's go,
very much loved. They've been doing an incredible job. They've been helping me so much. But the reason that they are helping me so much is because I asked.
Yeah. That's,
oh, man.
That's like...
Isn't that the best,
man.
Though? Man. Isn't that the best, though?
How often... And it covers so many aspects. Basically, my entire high school career, where you spend, like, whatever the amount of time, whether it's a week or a month or whatever, just being like, oh, man, I'd really like to blah, 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 or I really wish I could da-da-da-da. And the only thing that's stopping you is the perceived roadblocks. And then once you're like, okay, I'm finally going to do it this time. I'm actually going to go ask this or do this or start this. And then it's like, oh, shit, there weren't any roadblocks at all. I literally could have been doing this
you
for the last 7 months.
You somehow survived.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, this is way easier than I expected. That is, I don't know, that more often than not, that's the experience. It's like, wow, this is way easier than I expected it would be.
Yeah. Well, and I can certainly speak to that. I'm introverted. I'm really quiet. I don't really like talking to people, to be quite
That's
honest.
Why, neither do we.
You
That's why we do it through microphones.
You guys are an exception.
Pull it out of them. Pull it out of them.
But honestly, you just, I think what propelled me was the idea that this is so much bigger than me. You know, this isn't for me, really. So what if I'm nervous asking people?
Yeah.
You know, I'm capable.
That'll go
of
away.
It'll go away. And I will survive and I'll be better for it. So just do it.
Oh, I love it. You know, that's this business, the Devil's Bench. I just posted about this today on our Facebook page. It started as a conversation in a kitchen. And there's a iconic speech from Kevin Smith that's all about chasing whimsy. And that we essentially have one crack at this whole thing. So don't waste any time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hang around people that tell you, why would you do that? Don't bother doing that. Just get after it, right?
Right.
And, man, like, to hear somebody like yourself say, just go out there and do it, it's so cool because I'm one of those people that gets really affected by YouTube motivational speeches. It's the most pathetic thing on the planet. That, like, I can listen... Really, honestly, I can listen to Will Smith, like, saying, you know, if I go head-to-head with a guy on a treadmill, I will die before I... And I'm like, yep, I'm going for a run, Will. And, like, it just...
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch a bunch of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in my track pants, athletic wear.
Same thing.
When I...
Same thing.
When I hear you saying that kind of stuff, man, it just gets me so hype to, like, if I have the smallest little kernel of an idea, it's, what's that, I used to have it as the background on my phone, fail hard and fail fast, because it's like I'd rather have failed doing something and gone out and even to make a fool of myself than to have never done it.
Yeah.
And
well, what I find too is, you know, when you do get to that point and you realize, okay, I just need to do it, I just need to ask, it's pretty amazing how people respond. Usually they will be very helpful, they'll be encouraging, they'll be positive, you know, like they want to help. So it, and it's surprising, like we have these preconceived notions that, I don't know, we're going to ask too much. It's going to be too much.
Yeah.
You know, that we shouldn't ask because it might be offensive or might take up too much of their time. You know, the worst that is going to happen is that they say no.
Yeah, they'll let you know if it is.
You know,
yeah. And you're in Canada, so they'll probably apologize if they can't help
exactly.
you too. So you'll be all right.
You know what's funny? It's like, I'm on the other end of that spectrum now. I totally used to be like the kind of, you know, I'll give you a little tiny kind of poke and say, hey, is this the kind of thing that you might be interested in someday? And now I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like the full double leg takedown. Help me with this.
This is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how, especially for like a society that walks around with their phone like adhered to their body, one of the most terrifying things you can do is call somebody on the telephone.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I mean, that's basically like the entire spinal column and probably, you know, the motor section of the brain of my job. And I'm still, every time I go to call a client, like, just get the little, oh God, I hope
the chills.
I hope they're not home and I can just leave my canned message. Oh, and they pick up. It's like, oh, I wasn't ready for this. I hate talking on the phone.
My favorite is when someone comes to get you and they text you in here.
Yeah.
Or you could just, you know, ring the doorbell.
Yeah, it's, oh man.
Here we go.
It's so funny. The world is so funny. And you know what? Cell phones are
the bane of my existence.
Whenever I see somebody who doesn't have a cell phone and then they're like, oh man, like, yeah, I was thinking of getting a cell phone. I don't, because whatever I have on my phone that I cannot live without, I don't need. I just can't live without it because I have it. If I never had it and just stuck with the flip phone from day one, my life would probably be so much better. My probably wouldn't be doing as good in my hockey pool. That's probably the only thing I do that's actually worthwhile, but I would have a lot less cookbooks because when I wake up, you know, you get into bed and you can't sleep and you just flip around on Amazon. Or I don't need to do any of the shit I do on my phone, but I have to. You know what I mean?
You're
like,
compelled.
I don't need to, but I have to.
It's the Motorola Razr, man. It was the best phone I ever owned.
Ugh.
The thing was indestructible. And it was super, like, it had a real snappy open. I also had one of those ones that was compact. And then you open it up like a secret agent, and it like went and kind of slid up the keyboard underneath. I felt so cool when I was using that.
I kind of miss those phones because they were like you could stand there and just flip them.
Yeah,
you know, they were fine.
Oh yeah.
I was taking my wife out to go and get a like a replacement for her phone because she has like the popsicle stick size like 5C that has 11 megabytes of data on it. And like some of the new phones are about the size of that mixer,
yeah.
You know, and you know where that really looks silly is when my wife was at a triathlon, and we're at like the finish line and there's all these assholes sitting there like taking pictures with their iPad sized phones. I'm like, you look so ridiculous. It looks like a whole bunch of people that have like lunch trays for faces.
Those are all the people that are posting those pictures on LinkedIn. Like, that's not what LinkedIn is for. Stop doing that.
I completely aside, but I all of a
sudden, I totally do that on LinkedIn.
I started getting all these emails like reminding me that, oh yeah, you have 11 connections on LinkedIn. It's like, I made a LinkedIn
Why
profile.
Won't you connect with me on LinkedIn, bro?
I'm 4.5 feet away from you right now. Just talk to me in person.
Connect with me, bro.
No.
Oh, that's fascinating. Katie, I have a very important question for you. And we're going to bridge into this with no segue, so it's coming at you.
All right.
This is not the surprise question, by the way. We still haven't figured that out. I still haven't.
I know what this was.
Unless this is the surprise question, I have the surprise question.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You go ahead first in case this is it.
Okay. So this is a very contentious issue on this podcast.
Oh, this is totally what I thought it was going
to be. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Do
okay.
it.
Do no, it. You start thinking about the surprise question. I'll do this one right now.
Yes.
Okay, deal.
And no leading the witness. I swear to God.
That's what it sounds like to record a podcast with zero preparation.
Yes.
Because ordinarily we'd be like, okay, so then you're going to do this.
And if,
we'll
she says, if she says your answer, I'm leaving like now.
I didn't say nothing.
Okay.
I didn't say nothing. Not...
We do this. Okay, we got to get the guest nervous.
I'm waiting.
We've warned
okay, it's
you.
It's a very contentious issue.
Okay.
We started this maybe about 30 or 40 episodes ago. This will determine the fate of our professional relationship.
And the extent of our friendship,
oh, wow.
to be fair.
Yeah, true. Because, I mean, this could be the deciding factor as to whether or not the Benchcast ends.
Tonight.
Right? Tonight. Forevermore. Between the two... Candy-coated chocolates. I need to know if you prefer M&M's or Smarties.
M&M's.
Yes.
That's finally.
Fine. No, that's fine,
smart
Katie.
Person on this show.
That's fine.
It's the first one.
No, that's
sorry,
fine. No, that's fine. I mean, it's abundantly clear to me that you have no
taste. It was the lack of hesitation
that
made it for me. It was the, like, I have the definitive answer. And it was correct.
This sounds like a debate that you've had before. Could
the... No, I just know what I like. And
I just know
do
what I
you,
like.
Yeah. Now, do you put M&M's in the purses that you give out?
I don't think I have yet. I don't know what chocolate I've included, but I've included chocolate
if
because
you,
it's very important.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to speak for you here. If you are the recipient of a donated purse from the period purse, and it contains Smarties, you are completely within your right, and all illegalities have been waived, to throw said purse back at the headquarters of the BRC if it contains Smarties.
They bring it back for a return. I don't want this.
It tainted everything inside of it.
Probably
Smarties ruined it.
A slightly more effeminate voice than the one I just used. No, that's fine. I mean, I'd hesitate to say I'm offended.
You
know what?
You look so disappointed.
Here's something.
He's confused because he was so certain that his side was going to win. Because I think the record's like 11-0.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought I, like, you know, cajoled with smarter people.
Cajoled.
Finally, it's turning around tonight.
Cajoled. Thanks, Dad.
What about you? Yes.
Whatever.
That's why you're married.
Yeah,
that's right. Just...
That's the it's the candy that forms the bond.
Savage.
Especially peanut M&M's.
Savages.
The homies. Yeah.
What are you going to do with peanut M&M's? Okay, listen. The problem here is I'm calling into question the validity of some things you've already told me tonight. Okay?
All right.
Let's go back. Give me a rewind noise, please. Only moments ago.
I practiced that.
You were trying to tell me that, like, you know, I'm a very introverted person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very new thing for me. Then not 15 minutes later, these specific words were said. I know what I like. That sounds like a pretty confident thing to say. Like when you, when
I heard
I
her
do
say,
know what I like. That has nothing to do with being introverted.
I heard her say, just go out and do it. And yep. I didn't realize at the time that do it meant go and get the superlative candy-coated chocolate item available in a convenience store near you.
You got a good vocabulary tonight.
I'm pretty smart.
Cajoled.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Wow.
I've been doing crosswords all day.
Yeah.
Now, here's a five-letter... No, I'm just kidding. Did you say you listened to the episode with Sue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you remember basically what the important discussion on that episode was, because I want to go two for two
here.
Are
we getting into this
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, I'm going two
for
two.
I'll get right now, bruh. Hold
what?
On. I'm going to start the list.
Oh, all right. Here we go. What would you say is... You're very hungry.
Now that we've got all the serious stuff out
yeah,
of the way.
Yeah, okay.
And this is when, like... Two-thirds of the listenership's like, okay, so that's what I wanted
now
to know
getting
about
into snack
the period
food
purse.
And done.
You've just crawled into the remains, like the skeletal remains of like whatever town you happen to be in on vacation. It's like the Value Mart or whatever it is.
All right.
Full-blown, full-on zombie apocalypse, like has been for a while. You're emaciated, you're starving to death, and you've crawled into a pristinely kept... unadulterated snack aisle of the Value Mart. But all that's left are Doritos.
Oh.
Any type of Doritos you want.
Okay.
And you only have the strength to pull apart the cellophane wrapper of a singular bag of Doritos. What bag of Doritos do you open?
The one that's closest to me.
That's... They're all equidistant from you. They're just stacked up like this. What is the best flavor of Doritos?
I don't know. I don't really eat them.
I think you scared her by being so aggressive. Because she was going to say the purple barbecue.
I don't remember the last time I had Doritos.
I like That's why you probably wear smaller clothes than me, because I can definitively remember the last time I had Doritos. I called it dinner last night.
That's just called being a new dad. That's just what happened.
What do we have? Doritos? Whatever. I'll dip them in applesauce. I so I can get my... I gotta get my 5 to 12. I gotta get my 5 to 12.
Oh,
Doritos are corn. That's a vegetable.
That's
orange is
terrible.
A fruit, right?
That's
orange.
Here's the problem. Sue was as blindsided as you might have been walking into a podcast, having never been on a podcast before. And I think we were discussing Doritos just previously.
Yes.
And that's when it, you know, became the bright idea to ask Sue what her favorite flavor of Doritos was. And then later, I met somebody totally disconnected from the BRC who also listened to that episode. And
they said how smart I am.
He was just like, I've never heard Sue like that. That's probably well outside the professional scope of her day.
I don't think we were going to bring it up, but we were just kind of like, you know, shooting the breeze before we started recording. She's like, oh, I'll get into some Dorito talk. It's like, yes, we will.
So we'll take for granted that Katie likes zesty cheese Doritos the best. Correct?
Okay, well, give me two choices.
Zesty cheese or death.
Or what?
Death, dying, dead, forever.
I'd rather die. Because I ate a bag, now it could have been because they were expired, but I ate a bag of zesty cheese Doritos out of the basement of this place, and I almost died.
Yes, correct. They were much expired. Oh, and I told him that, and then I told him not to eat them because they were expired.
I think my words were, do I look like I'm afraid? And I should have been. Should have been.
Yeah, you can't tell me how to live my life is something like that. And then he opened up the bag. I was like, all right, brother. Okay, so here's the deal then. You're not that big into gaming, and normally we'd throw something at you. So what are you into? What do you do?
Oh.
How's that for another open-ended question? You thought I was going to be like, tell me about the period purse. What are you into? What do you do?
That's a good question. I hate those questions.
I know, they're the worst.
What do you do for fun?
Especially when we're...
All right, I got one.
I
Israel, Palestine, who you got?
Sweatpants? Oh, God. I'm a big reader.
Okay.
I love
All right,
reading.
That's the easy one.
Yep.
Could do.
I kind of got one.
You kind of got one?
Kinda got one.
Okay, what else? Keep going.
We like to do archery. So that's fun.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Because that's where we're going to pause.
Oh, okay.
You say archery as in compound bow, traditional?
Like a traditional longbow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the most fascinating thing ever. Okay, why?
Did you buy one?
Did I buy one? Yeah, I had one. I had a recurve for a little while.
What I mean is you still have it.
No, I sold it to one of the LARPers at Mohawk Park. They're walking around with something and could take down a moose. And they're shooting these foam tip.
Someone had a pillowcase go through their brain today down at Mohawk Park.
So why archery? That's the coolest thing ever.
Why? I don't know. I don't know why. Just something to try out.
When did you start doing it?
Why not?
3 months after The Hunger Games came out, just like me. No.
Yeah, no, the real reason is that I want to become Katniss.
I want to become
totally.
Katniss.
I would be Katniss, too.
Not that. When did we start? Like in the winter, maybe last.
That's
year,
a good time to start archery.
Last fall.
Yeah.
Get outside in the snow with frozen fingers and so like shoot at a target in the
just
backyard.
Just because?
No. At a range, over in Burford.
The Triggers and Bows.
Is that right?
The homies at Triggers and Bows. Love that store.
Is it? I have like a rinky-dink little foam target that I bought from there that I shoot at my backyard, but I have a very small Brantford wartime backyard, so. And a lot of backyards look into my backyard, so it's like I can only do it at like 2 in the morning.
That sounds pretty scary to be your neighbor.
They're never home, so it's okay. Oh, okay. I might, maybe because they're dead, because I missed when I first started.
Scary is a very subjective thing, too.
Yeah.
You never know. Somebody might be like just down with dodging arrows.
Maybe.
You know, you might luck out.
You never know.
You never
I'm so glad this has entered the neighborhood.
Yay!
That's cool. So you went down to Triggers and Bows just on a whim?
Yep.
Cool. Man, that's cool. See? You don't give yourself enough credit, Katie. You're doing all these things like you're acting. I really like that. There's no, or at least you don't come across as having a whole lot of hesitation. You're just like, I want to start shooting arrows, so I'm just going to go down to Triggers and Bows and start shooting some arrows. They have a pretty cool facility down there, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I actually need to get my own bow. I recently found out, although I'm right-handed, I shoot left.
Oh, interesting.
So I need a left-handed bow.
Cool.
No.
So they have like a rental program thing down there or something?
They do, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. That's cool.
So you can, I think you can rent the equipment, you rent the lane, the time.
I got to do that. I want to go like, so I can try it from distance. I tried doing that in my parents' backyard because they have like a country backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But my target is so small that when you finally do get a good distance apart from it, you just feel like you suck. I'm just like, oh, good. I'll
just
try and keep it.
Just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it out of the neighbor's yard. That'll be that's my target. This yard is my target.
I shoot handgun at Triggers and Bows, and every time I go there, like you kind of in the archery section, you know how there's the tables behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like stage my bags there, so like I put this one on that shoulder, so I can get all my shit in all at once.
You can tell that Bill takes that very seriously because he used the word "stage my bag" rather than just get my shit ready.
That's right, bro. Get on my level, son.
I stage. This is where I begin my stage.
It's stage, okay. First of all,
exante goo.
And it got me. It's one of those things. Whenever I'm looking, like I always watch them doing the archery, it's so much cooler than shooting. Because like you get in there and you do it all, but then there's just something about you draw it back and you let it go. Like how do you not pretend you're in Robin Hood while you're doing that?
Like amazing? Yeah. I don't know.
There's more like finesse to it, eh? Because that's the thing. Yeah, like basically, says the guy who's never shot a gun before, I'm going to tell you what it's like to shoot a gun. You basically, I don't know, it's almost like, I feel like it's like you have to stay as still as possible and just point.
You should come out with me one time. I think it'd be really
fun. I do.
It'd probably scare you stupid.
I wonder what I'd look like with no front teeth. Just give me something with a whole bunch of kickback and just, be eating my meal, eating my Doritos through a straw for the next 6 weeks.
That'd probably be delicious.
You could mush it up like a porridge or something like that. What are you eating?
I would choose that. You know, between that and death.
No, crossover Dorito and Quaker Oats. They're going to have Dorito oatmeal.
Dude, I just figured it out right now.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what you'd mix it with to get the moisture enough so that it became a paste, but I bet you if you mashed it up good enough, the grease and the chip would have enough moisture, you could use that as a burger topping or like a sausage topping.
Are you Jeff?
That's a guaranteed way
guys,
to die early.
Guys.
Yeah.
Probably be worth it.
I think
it probably would be
worth
it.
You should try it.
I'm definitely going to use that as like a cheesecake crust.
Try it.
I'm definitely not going to try it. But
Jeff will try it.
Jeff will try it. We have this friend who's he's actually one of the owners of the bench here. And he,
doesn't eat food. Well, he eats food. He just doesn't compile it in a way that would let you believe that he's from Earth. I can't shit on him too much for like the hot dogs, but on an episode, he was so excited, just like a little kid who just like discovered his new favorite hobby, and he made a creation with hot dogs, and he was just like,
which are on their own. We're not even talking about good hot dogs.
A mere twinkle in his eye as he's describing it to us. He's like, okay, guys, you take a hot dog bun and you fry it in butter, and we're like, oh God, go ahead and tell me the next steps. And then you fry the hot dog in butter. Don't do that, but what's the next step? And then you get,
it's peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
And Caesar salad dressing.
And Caesar salad dressing with bacon on top.
With bacon on the hot dog, and then you put it all together.
It was one of those things where individual components are on their own delicious, and two of the three put together, I can follow. Because, you know, like Thai food, you got like peanut sauce and stuff like that. I can follow that. Caesar and bacon makes sense. But when you try to make that triangle go together, it's just not like healthy or
Jeff
know,
was left
allowed.
Unattended without any female company.
Oh.
And
so Jeff, no one told him that's enough.
Jeff falls right off the rails. Like just and he brought
Poor
it in
Jeff.
For us on the podcast and I ate it.
It was okay.
I ate it because I'm a great friend.
I would eat it again, but I would never make it.
For sure, removed 8 minutes from the end of my life. For sure. Yeah.
At least.
I had to put a Bic pen into my neck and just drain it. Otherwise, I could have died.
Okay, you guys remember the Simpsons episode? Where he's like, oh, you butter that bacon, boy.
Yeah. You know what?
Remember that?
I can frame that in my mind. I can see it happening.
Right. Yeah.
Simpsons and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I just have like a little directory in my brain filled with useless crap from those two shows. Yep.
If you've watched every episode of The Simpsons, South Park, and Seinfeld, you never need to go outside again because you have every point of reference for any scenario ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Do you still have the question in your brain?
Yeah, okay. I've got one.
What'd you do? Do you want me to do the rules? Are we doing a...
Oh, no, it won't. It won't fall. No, it won't be five.
Oh, no?
This is like the old... Okay. Because we're talking about The Simpsons and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I imagine that we were all like in public school around that time.
Yep.
So there was a fun game that... See, I went to... I grew up in Mount Pleasant, so I went to school in Mount Pleasant, and they didn't quite have running water or electricity yet, so we had to come up with a lot of ways to like entertain ourselves. So we used to play the game, if you were stranded on a desert island and you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life...
Oh, this could be a new question.
Yes. So, because we don't have, like, an answer for people who don't play video games, so.
Can we declare it?
Let's declare it.
It has been declared. That is the new question.
And we'll shorten it up. Actually, I'll expand it from what I just asked, but we'll shorten it up from the video game one. You get three food items.
Oh, man.
And usually there's, I think the same rules would apply.
Same rules would apply.
Okay, same rules would apply. Here's
Slam
the rules.
Slam the rules.
The rules are as follows. This is not a top three, so you don't have to give it, like, first, second, third.
Okay.
You can change your mind at any time, mm-hmm. which includes the future. So if you walk away from here regretting your decision...
Shit, I forgot meatloaf.
You can definitely...
That was an example of you changing your mind.
That's an excellent food item that I would include on my top three, so long as it was stuffed with something magnificent.
What's the third rule?
Third rule is... change your mind anytime.
So in the video game one, it's a series. So basically, pizza. No, you know what? No, you can't say pizza because that's too overarching. You'd be like, yeah, Italian food, Chinese food, and pizza. Done.
Okay, yeah, so that doesn't work. You have to be specific.
You have to be specific.
So the alternate rule is you have to be specific.
You don't have any armor, right?
They don't have to be a top three, not in order. You can change your mind at any time, including the future. Top three foods, desert, island, stranded, go.
Nothing smells worse. Buffalo wings.
Oh.
Pepperoni pizza. Okay. I know.
Those are two classics. They're two classics.
Yeah.
You specified pepperoni, so that counts?
That's fine, yeah.
So that way, if you're like, oh,
we're
you know
totally
what?
Making this up as we go.
I'd like
that's
a Hawaiian.
That's valid.
You can't have it now because you've stated pepperoni.
Valid.
That's right.
And,
acceptable.
Chocolate chips.
And
just on their own.
Yep.
No adulteration.
Give me a
of
bag
any kind.
Of chocolate chips. I'm happy.
Big old bag of Chippets.
Big old bag.
And you
keep
them in the fridge. They're better when they're cold.
Incorrect.
No, yeah, wrong. That's
okay,
wrong.
I can't win them all. I mean, I'm still right on all accounts. I just can't win them all.
I'm going to chuck this at you, too. I'm going to do one, too. What's your top three desert island food stranded item?
See, I would say sushi, but we said we can't make that. That's too broad. So I will say specifically the spider roll.
Incorrect.
But it has to be a good spider roll, specifically the one from Sushi Jack, which is no longer... It used to be that downtown sushi place.
Yeah.
I used to work there.
Disappeared.
Oh, man. There's still a sushi place there. I just haven't gone back. When the hell am I there? Shit, that's real tough, man. I was too busy trying to be a jackass with the rules. Okay, we'll trade off. You go.
Easy. Shut up.
Oh, duh.
Shut up.
Warm bread, not toast.
No.
It's not bread if it's toast.
That's actually, okay, listen. Little bit of context here. I like straight-ahead foods. I'm a very meat and potatoes type of individual.
All right.
Number one, Frosted Flakes.
Milk.
But actual Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, not that President's Choice garbage.
Not like frosted Flarks.
Yeah.
They have to be fancy flakes.
Yeah, Odeos.
Yeah.
Frosted Flakes, buttered white bread. I'm not kidding.
Just by itself?
Buttered, really? That's it. Buttered white bread. Has to be homemade. None of that Wonder Bread shit. And my wife's scones, specifically with raspberry jam on it. And whatever that jam was I brought to your place. Not the stuff.
It's Smucker's.
It's got to be that.
Yeah.
Not the stuff with the red label. It's the white label. That's like blasphemous to bring home that red label junk in my house.
You got
to
have the seeds in it. It's not raspberry jam.
You got to
have
a little bit of a nyang 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 when you're eating it, right?
I if it doesn't nyang nyang nyang, I don't eat it.
That's it. I want simple carbs for the rest of my life.
I can't believe out of... And You're my best friend, but I'm still gonna call you an asshole here. This asshole has of all the
That's
food
what best
in the
friends do.
Of all the food in the world, and it's so Bill. Robbie's gonna kill himself laughing.
What's better than Frosted Flakes?
No.
Give me an example.
Frosted Flakes are fine.
Things.
What's
it was
better
the white
than homemade
bread with butter on it?
But what's better than that? What's better than homemade white bread about 13 minutes after it's come out of the oven? I can eat a whole loaf. What's better than that?
I could do that as well.
Screw Robbie. I don't need Robbie. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Jesus.
I'm for sure going to change my opinion on that outcome by next Wednesday.
Definitely.
I'm going to go for a run when we're done here, and I'll be regretting.
And come back and just record just an add-on.
Sure. Yeah, and I'll just use the ambient noise in here, and then I'll just plug it in to this podcast, and you'll never
you'll
know
never notice.
Oh, wait, I have a question.
Shoot.
I have a question about your three food.
Sure.
Can you add drinks?
Oh, see, now we weren't even thinking about
that.
Yeah,
no, that you have to.
Not, I mean, it's food, but it's a drink.
You're not going to drink water the whole
time?
We'll
do an add-on. We'll do because you're on a desert island. Like,
yeah.
Is a desert island a thing?
And something to
but
drink.
You're getting a supply drop from UNICEF, who you donate to regularly.
You're getting, because when you get big enough and you commission your own helicopter, and honestly, if the period purse develops a red hot helicopter, gets a helicopter, and it doesn't have like a red circle as its logo, I'd be very disappointed. But when you see
so
that,
don't hire him for branding.
If you buy like a Japanese helicopter, it comes already pre-printed. But if you have, I stuck that one in on you. So when you see the period purse helicopter coming and dropping your food purse down, because you've expanded by this point into food.
For sure.
It's like the Blue Apron. It's like the Blue Apron of nonprofits.
It'll be a sustenance purse.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a sustenance question, not
a food
question.
No, it'll still have all like the necessary like toiletries in it, but in the zippered pouches,
yeah.
As Katie giggles to herself as filling it up with the joyous buttered white bread.
Handfuls of Frosted Flakes with no bag and no packaging.
It would have to be a leather purse so it could contain the milk.
Jam, not the wrong jam.
Yeah, and the slippery hand of buffalo chicken wings. Gets
Bill's sitting there, he's like getting ready to eat the scone. It's the only thing in his thing. And his purse, and then he sees
it was
it's
put
the
in
red
there.
Label jam. I'd rather starve to death. All right.
Just throws it. No.
Oh, we have to have an add-on for drinks.
Okay,
and I'm going to add... See, and I don't give a shit what you think.
Uh-huh.
You know, no, I'm gonna completely backpedal and not tell you who's gonna say. Jamaican patties are on my list.
Okay.
But the good ones, and they're freezer burned, so help me God.
Oh, what are those things that I eat at Everest Grills? I don't even
know. Oh, samosas.
Those ones.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw the Jamaican patties, samosas.
That's what I'm saying.
100%.
If we got caught on a desert island together, we'd be
fighting over samosas.
We'd be in business. It'd be a short fight.
You'd be all strengthened up on your bread and butter.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so what are we going to add? Two extra slots for drinks or one extra slot? We can
make
it hard.
One.
One extra
Do
slot?
One. Yeah.
Okay, so Katie, what's your one slot?
Coffee.
All right.
You
don't get cream and sugar with that.
That's fine.
Yeah, because those are separate liquids, and I'm using salt as a liquid here. And by salt, I mean sugar.
Okay. It'd be a very savory coffee.
Oh, man. That might be good. Now,
all right, your drink.
I'm a self-professed coffee snob, become a coffee snob, and that's why I don't have any friends anymore. Oh. So the question is, what coffee is on your desert island?
Okay, well, it's a desert island.
Just
so
say to
it's already hot, so you
don't
need...
I don't think it really matters. I'm just going to be happy
instant.
To have coffee, so...
That's fair.
All right.
Doesn't get me an opportunity to argue with Bill anymore than I already am, but...
Just say Tim Hortons, get him going. Just get him right going.
Thank you. At least if you didn't hear that, internet, she kind of snarled her nose a little bit. Which is the proper response in that situation?
All right,
I like Tim Hortons coffee. It's just probably not my choice for a desert island.
It's nobody's choice for a desert island coffee.
No. Just saying.
What's your drink for the thing that we're doing currently on the podcast?
Cherry Coke.
Really?
Good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
But you don't have any means to refrigerate it. That's going to be nasty.
Whatever. I'll dig a hole until it's cold. I'll bury that shit in the sand. It's a desert. It gets cold at night. I'll only drink it at night. Flawless logic.
I got nothing. That's science.
How can you argue with that?
Nope, that's some science right there.
Mustard. Adam Savage says, if you're stranded on a desert island, you need to keep your Coke cold. Dig a hole, bitch.
Orange Pico tea. too. Just tea. I got
because you don't want too much flavor happening.
No, I got a Brit's heart. I just need my tea, man.
So you have your scones and your tea.
It is.
Telling you, like,
now does the Queen come by on regular intervals? Like, can't she just like bring you back to Buckingham Palace?
The goings on of the prince and his wife and new children are a very hot topic in my house. I'm kidding, it's really not. But I was raised by a like off the boat Brit. So it's, what do you want?
Well, that explains it.
What do you want? Not really, actually. She's Irish, but like she heavily identifies through like that whole subsect of.
What's your favorite episode of Coronation Street?
Dude, like I could call my grandma right now. She'd be watching. She'd probably be in bed, but she'd be watching Coronation Street tonight.
No word of a lie. My mom used to watch that show because it was back before like, you know, you got more than three channels. And for the longest time, I thought that show was in another language because I couldn't understand a single goddamn. Oh, what? Cutting the hand of the stamp in the floor. And it's like, what? Yeah, you put closed captioning on, and it just one bar never changes, unintelligible. The whole time, no one has any idea what the hell. The show's been on for like 28 years, and only 17 minutes of dialogue is even understandable.
Or in brackets, British sounds.
British sounds.
Katie. If people want to get a hold of you or the Period Purse, or they want to find out more about it, or pitch in and help, how would people on the internet go about doing that?
That's a lot of ors.
Yeah.
That's
how I roll.
Good.
Or row.
Bruh. That's my thing
that's
recently.
That's how you row with ors.
See?
Both of you. All right. That's enough.
We're replacing Bill with Katie for the next Benchcast episode.
It'd just be one solid hour of terrible jokes. How can people get a hold of you and your stuff?
Okay, so we're
or
on...
Or your stuff. Or big or.
Yeah. We're on Facebook. So the Period Purse, Brantford. Or if you want to email me directly, if you have any questions, anything at all, the email address is, it's a very big one, theperiodpursebrantford@gmail.com.
Is that the dot purse?
Question, good. And I'm going to email you about this. Does the Period Purse have a website, like an official .com?
No.
No?
Not yet.
Why?
Does
it cost?
I think, you know, I think it's just, it's taken off so quickly that there hasn't really been any time to keep up with that. We're just kind of going with the flow right now and just collecting donations.
That's a good pun.
Going with
the flow. Oh, what a tagline. What a tagline.
That is
that
pretty
good.
That was
you. That was all
her.
You.
Give me your Facebook credentials. We need to post that immediately.
I have to write that down somewhere.
You could get Queens of the Stone Age to write your theme song for you.
I'm going to shoot you an email at some point tomorrow because I think I can solve that problem for you.
Cool.
Internet.
He knows the Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's savage.
I still don't know how to tell whether whatever this noise is good or not. If your teeth vibrate, it's good. Or it's cold in here.
All he has to
what do you think?
All he has to go on is me literally going...
Mongolian throat singing.
Yeah, I got to get all hype. I haven't gone for a run yet, so I got to go at 9:15 at night. Gross. Internet, if you want to get a hold of us... You know what to do, or don't.
Those are your options.
So that's pretty much it.
Go either. Instead of getting a hold of us, go buy some M&Ms and set anywhere that sells Smarties on fire.
Don't do that. I was gonna end.
Do you guys sell Smarties?
I was gonna cut it all off, and then that was a sick drop.
Was that good? I don't know how to tell. I don't get dubstep.
And
just say yes.
The headline.
I gotta hide my pants up here.
Flashed in front of my eyes about some quirky kid burning down a Smarties factory while listening to Marilyn Manson. I don't know. I don't get dubstep either, but I gotta listen to something like this, or else like be like if I was listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson, be like, "Woo, let's go for a run." No, you gotta.
And then you just, like, crawl into the fetal position, and you're just, like,
get worried
black
about
holes,
space.
Man.
Get real worried about it. We do that, too, a lot on this podcast. You're lucky we didn't do that. Sometimes we get really worried about space.
So tell us
too.
All about your nonprofit.
I do too, though.
We're all going to die one day.
That's a
great
thing.
Why bother doing anything?
But get up there and do it.
I'm not.
Before you die.
I'm not ending the podcast like that either. I'm not doing it. Katie, give us a 10-second motivational speech. Go.
Give us a 7-second motivational speech. Give us
do
two
Do something
two
good with
ones.
Your life. Get in touch with me and help me out.